bow your head for just a moment. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Would you, from your heart silently, would you say, Lord, would you please speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you? Would you say that to the Lord? And would you add to that part of your prayer and say, Lord, help 2024 to be my best year ever spiritually for you. Would you say that to the Lord? Lord, help 2024 to be the best year for me spiritually ever. Would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message tonight exactly as you'd have him to, filled with your spirit. So that means controlled completely with your spirit. Lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to ask you a question, and I hope you can speak up and answer this question. If you thought about it, tonight, coming to church, just coming to church, there are several things that you trusted tonight on your trip or your journey coming to church. Can you think of anything that you trusted tonight? Okay, one at a time. You trusted Larry's driving? That takes a lot of trust. I've ridden with, no, I'm just kidding. Larry's a good driver. Okay, but you trusted the person you rode with? Okay, what else did we trust as we left our home, got in the car, headed this way? What was it? Okay, the Lord to get us here. Now, she's being spiritual on us. Okay, good. Good answer. What else did we trust? I'm talking about more physical things that you trusted tonight. Trust you didn't hit a deer? Wouldn't hit a deer? Absolutely. And Jamie, you said something? Yeah, trust that you'll be able to make it through this. Yeah, that we're breathing and we're still functioning. Linda? Yeah, trust that when you turned the key, you trusted that it would start, and it's kind of cold out there, so you turned on the heater, so you trusted that the heat would come on, right? You trusted that you had enough tread on your tire that you wouldn't slide off the road. You trusted, did any of you go through a stoplight? Okay, some do when you come the other way. We're going to do a stop. I trusted that other people would obey the law and stop, or then I trusted that the light was in sync. When you come in, now if you thought that there wasn't going to be heat tonight, some of you would have thought twice about coming in here, right? It's like, okay, I trust that the furnace is going to work. I trust that the lights are going to be on, the power is going to be on. I trust, there's a lot of things that we trust that we really don't think about. It just kind of comes that way, right? But can I tell you that everything that we mentioned that we trusted, every single one of them can fail. Would y'all agree with that? Now, don't get too excited. Just give me a little, yep, I can fail. Now, I believe that every one of us, on a big scale now, because that's little physical things, but every one of us on a bigger scale in life, put our trust primarily in something. Now, there's a lot of people that put their big trust in something that they should not be trusting in. And I jotted a few of those down. In the past, they've trusted these things. And in 2024, as we've just started into the year, they'll trust these things. A lot of people trust money. I mean, really, they get up and they think about money and they worry about money and they fret about money and they maybe work more hours than really what they have to just to get more money because their trust is in their money. There's a problem with that. Money can fail. And I don't care. You say, well, I got this nest egg and I got it under my mattress. I mean, if the dollar doesn't have any value, I don't care how much money you got. If it has no value, you're going to, well, I'm secure. No, you're not. That's not a good place to put your trust. You know, some people trust in family. That's their primary, their family and their support system. Now, nothing wrong with family, and we hopefully do enjoy our family. But can I tell you that that's not the place we ought to put our trust? Families let us down. I mean, have you ever, yeah, what Forrest Gump said, that I said this, before, but he said, you know, our family's a lot like a box of chocolate, mainly sweet, but there's a few nuts in the bunch. Well, something like that. Maybe not a direct quote, but kind of that idea. But our family is really not where we're supposed to put our trust, because that can fail us. Some people say, you know what, I put my trust just in luck. Or in fate, as they may call it. I don't believe in luck, and I don't believe in fate, because God is a big God, and you know, He works in our lives and in our country and in our world. I don't really, but I mean, really, I mean, you really want to put your trust in fate and luck? Now, that, we all understand that's pretty unpredictable, don't you think? Some people put their trust in looks. You know, maybe more young people do that. Like, yeah, I'm good looking, so this is going to be okay. What happens to looks? They fade. I don't know. I won't name names, but I've seen some people, some stars, that thought they were going to keep their looks. And they went through some of this stuff, and you look at them like, that's not the way I remember them. And it just doesn't look quite the same. So trusting in our looks, we pretty much got the idea that that's not going to work. Some people trust in their intelligence. I mean, really, a lot of people are like, I can figure this out. I can work it out. And, you know, that's kind of dangerous, too, because our intelligence is, I don't care how smart we are. I don't care how high our IQ might be. Our intelligence will fail us. One big reason it does, because we're not God, and we can't predict what will happen. Some people trust in their job or their position. I mean, that's everything to them. I mean, that's it. If I do this, and I'm gonna keep going up that corporate ladder and go a little higher and a little higher, and all of these can fail you. Not only those material things we talked about on our way to church, but all of these big things that we put our trust in can fail us too. Any and all of these can fail us and let us down at any time. Can I say, I'm gonna make a statement right now? Our exclusive trust should only be in the Lord. Our exclusive trust should only be in the Lord, and that holds true for this year, 2024. You know, we're 3 days into the new year. 3 days. Well, that's true. I thought of that earlier. I didn't jot it down, but you're right. A lot of people trust in government. They'll take care of me. Now, I can let you down too. The only worthwhile place, the only dependable place to put our trust is in the Lord. The title tonight of our lesson, a sermon tonight, Trust in 2024, our exclusive trust should only be in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3. Now, I'm no stranger to chapter 3, and probably you're no stranger to chapter 3 of Proverbs, but it does good to revisit some of these familiar passages sometimes to remind ourselves of where our trust ought to really be. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. All right? Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, first of all, verses 1 and 2, when it says, my son, forget not my law, talks about my law, my commandments. You know, keep those, don't forget them, let thy heart keep my commandment. It's talking about obeying God's word, okay? This is in the way of kind of setting the context of where we are in this. obeying God's word. And then it tells us, if we do that, what does that yield? Now, we as Christians that have been Christians for a while, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, that's the most blessed thing I could recommend for you. Trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, even tonight. But if you're here as a Christian, it ought to go without saying that since we're saved, we're going to obey what God's word says. It doesn't go without saying. We need to be reminded that we need to obey God's word. And it tells us in verse 2, if we do that, what will he bless us with? That's what it's talking about. Obeying God's word yields, and it says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I mean, who in the world would not want long life and peace? So how do you get there? Well, by obeying God's word. So I'd encourage you to do that in 2024. Just do what the Bible says to do. And if it says not to do it, don't do it. Verses 3 and 4, in way of kind of setting the context here, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. What's it talking about? It's talking about mercy. It's talking about truth. It's talking about showing mercy and truth. Showing mercy and living truth is the way I would put it. Then it goes on to say, you know what? If you show mercy, you know, mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. You know, we've been shown mercy, therefore we ought to show mercy to other people. Now, isn't it amazing sometimes how short our memory is? I mean, we can remember, oh yeah, you showed me mercy, God, but I'm not going to show anybody mercy in this bunch. Are you kidding me? Now, we ought to get it. We really ought to get it. Because it's only because of the mercy of God that we're not going to go to hell and spend forever in a place separated from God. Because of God's mercy to me. So we ought to show that to other people. So showing mercy, and then it talks about truth. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, and bind them about your neck, write them on your heart. In other words, show mercy and live truth. And the only way to live truth is by obeying, again, what the Word of God says, right? But what's that going to yield? What's that going to yield in 2024? We looked at verse 1 and 2. If you obey God's word, it's going to yield long life and peace. And we all want long life and peace. Showing mercy and living truth yields. It goes on to say, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Talking about the favor or blessing of God, and you'll have the favor and blessing of man. Wow, that's kind of big, don't you think? So when you show mercy, when you live truth, you'll be shown the favor or blessing of God and will be shown the favor and blessing of man. And it goes on to say, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So you'll have good understanding. Another way might be, what that might be speaking of is success. You'll have good success before God. And you'll have good success before man. Isn't that a good thing? You know, whether it's completely the idea of understanding, I would like to understand God more, wouldn't you? And understand how to live and how to serve him. So when you show mercy and live truth, God gives us the blessing of God and the blessing of man, the good understanding before God and the good understanding before men. That's good stuff. And then you get into what we're going to focus on, verses 5 and 6, okay? Remember the title of the message? You say, preacher, your introduction was so long, I don't remember it anymore. Okay, here it is. Trust in 2024. Our exclusive trust should only be in the Lord. Our exclusive trust should only be in the Lord. Look at these two verses. And I'm not ashamed to say that these are two of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. And I'm sure you've heard me say that, and I'm sure you've heard me teach on this or preach on this. But tonight we're looking at trust in 2024. And can I say before we really get into this that you are trusting something right now? Most. And hopefully that trust is exclusively only in the Lord. Because he's the only one we can truly trust. You say, well, preacher, I have a little bit of trust. I don't know, something's going on with my glasses. I don't know what's going on. Let me try a little bit of stuff here. it's kind of like there's streaks going down. So I don't know if everybody's streaking tonight. I don't know. I don't know if you've been out and got a streaking suntan today or what. But it's kind of funny. That's why I keep taking them on, putting them on, and taking them off. I don't know if I smeared something on my glasses or what I did. But you might say, preacher, I'm okay. I trust in the Lord. A little bit. But I trust my job, and I trust my family, and I trust in this, and I trust in that. Can I tell you that's really not the way God wants it to be. God says if you want to be truly blessed, and that's going to be what we're going to talk about here in a minute. If you want to be truly blessed, you have to put your exclusive, your only trust, all of your trust in one thing, and that's God. So as we look at this, 5 points. Number one, the entity of trust or the everything of trust is stated in the first phrase here. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now, that's not exactly rocket science, is it? I mean, does everybody get that? Trust in the Lord. What is trust? It's a dependence upon. It's looking toward someone and saying, Lord, you're it. You know, I'm going to, when the boys were young and you know, you've heard this analogy. I've heard it from other people, but this is true with our boys, you know, using a pool and they were on the side and you say, come on, boys, jump, jump, jump. And they're like, yeah, I don't know. You know, they'd run up, then they'd stop, and then they'd go back. Then they're like, come on, Ryan, Jason, you can do it. Come on. And they'd run up, and then they'd stop, and then maybe they'd kind of go a little further. And then finally, you know, they trusted to the point. And that's really every day of our life. It ought to be like that. Lord, here, I'm willing to jump in. Just catch me because I trust you. That's the way it ought to be. And I know it's easy to say, well, of course we get that, preacher. But I really don't know how many Christians really fully trust the Lord. And I know we all have our moments where we lack the trust that we should, right? But the entity or the everything of our trust ought to be in the Lord. That's what it says, trust in the Lord. It doesn't say in your brilliance. It doesn't say in your money. It doesn't say in your job. It doesn't say in your family. It says trust in the Lord. And I believe that every one of us, all 362 days that are left in this year, probably every one of us could do a better job of when we wake up, say, Lord, I trust you. I don't know what today's going to hold, but I trust you. When you take a Greek test, Ryan, you pretty much trust the Lord a lot, right? Hey, he's got 3 out of 4 semesters down. Got 1 more to go. Of course, poor Jason's got 4 more to go. It starts next year, right? But they'll do fine. Now, Ryan's done good, and Jason will do fine. But I've had Greek. I had, two years of Greek, I believe, and I think a year of Hebrew, I believe. They'll not have Hebrew, but I did in my master's degree. And you believe me, and you remember those days, and you know, you said, I hated math, you might say. Remember those days you had math tests? And like, you trust in the Lord, right? If you knew the Lord then, Lord, help me with the math. Help me with the English. Help me with it. But every day of our life, we ought to wake up and say, Lord, you're it. You're the one I'm trusting. So the entity or the everything of trust is the Lord. Second, the extent of trust. The extent of trust. And this separates the men from the boys, let's say. I don't mean that to offend any ladies here, but I'm saying this really differentiates between whether you're serious or not. Because most Christians say, oh, I trust in the Lord. Uh-huh, sure do. But what's supposed to be the extent of our trust? With all thine heart. Last time I looked, all, what does all mean, Jason? All. And all means all, and that's all that it means. It means all. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And the heart speaks of who the sinner, actually who we are. So when it says with all thine heart, everything that we are should trust God completely. The extent of trust should be with all thine heart. And I think that you could find even probably a mediocre Christian. And they say, oh yeah, I trust God. When everything's going good, I trust him really good. But the difficulty comes in all of our heart all of the time, right? So the entity or everything of trust ought to be the Lord. Second, the extent of our trust with all thine heart. With all of our hearts, we're supposed to trust the Lord. As Jamie approaches this new phase of life, you know, as far as her position. I'm sure she's like, well, I don't know. You know, she just needs to say, as we do when we hit these new phases of life sometimes, these challenges. And there's other challenges that are here. We have health issues that are challenges, right? We have things, relationships that are challenges, right? Just trust the Lord. Just say, Lord, I'm putting it all in your hands. I trust you with all my heart to deal with this problem. I trust you with all of my life. I trust you with my new position. I trust you everything. Third thing is the enemy of trust. You ready for this? The enemy of trust. It says clearly that the entity or everything of our trust is the Lord. And it says clearly that the extent of our trust is with all of our heart. But thirdly, the enemy of trust. You know what happens? Now, dude, please do not take offense to what I'm about to say. Are you ready for this? I love you. Would this make you feel better if I start with myself? I have a pea brain. You know what I mean? Just itty bitty. Actually, compared to God's brain, if you will, or his knowledge, it's not even the size of a pea. It's more like totally insignificant. You can't even say what's like the head of a needle, you know, compared to God. It's not even that big. I mean, ours is just so insignificant, our brain and our understanding. And I'm telling you, what happens every single time that something does not go the way we think it should, or we're faced with something that is a big obstacle, we think we got your pea brains. I love you, but you got a pea brain. I've got a pea brain. My pea's probably smaller than your brain, okay? But what happens, the devil uses our little pea brain, and the old flesh says, you know, just gets in there a little bit and says, well, you know, how can I work this thing out? I just don't trust this, so I'm going to have to do. You know what we really need to do is say, God, you're God, and I trust you. How many times have we gotten in trouble by, it says right there specifically, it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And lean not on your own understanding. Do you know when we choose not to step out in faith as individuals, you know when that is? Is when we lean on our own understanding. Like, Lord, I can't see how that'll ever work out. I can't see how in the world I'll ever be able to lead that ministry. I don't see how in the world. And you know when churches choose not to step out in faith, why they don't? When God makes it clear, it's because they trust in their little pea brain. They say, I can't see how in the world we... Well, we don't have to. If God sees it, we go ahead and say, okay, God, you got this. The entity, everything of our trust is the Lord. The extent ought to be, here I am, here's all. I trust you completely with all of my heart. And guess what? Even if it doesn't make sense to my little pea brain, I'm going to do it anyway. Do you know how many churches would have never been started if people leaned on their own understanding, their little pea brains? Do you know how many ministries that never would have started? I mean, some of these men and women of God, God just said, guess what? Boom, I want you to do this. And they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt because of their close walk with God that God wanted them to do something. And they started with zero resources. But they said, God, I trust you. And if that's what you've called us to do, by golly, we're going to do it. And I'm sure that many of the ministries today that are serving the Lord and going worldwide, and these missionaries and these mission boards and these churches that are staying true to the Word, when they started and when they reach out and step out in faith, it's not because they listen to their brain. Last time I checked, God doesn't have to make sense to me. Last time I checked, God doesn't even have to get my approval. He's God. And he's a big enough God to say, you know what? I can say to my God, I trust you. I say to the Lord quite often, and I love the Lord and I respect the Lord. I say, Lord, I don't understand this, but I trust you. And see, that's the kind of God we serve. The enemy of trust is our own understanding. I'm telling you, you will never do much for the Lord. I will never do much for the Lord if I lean more on my understanding than I do my God. Because my understanding is pretty minuscule. My understanding, you'd have to put it under a microscope and you still wouldn't be able to see it. My understanding is pretty small compared to the God that I serve. It's a good thing that's not a gun, isn't it? I better put that pen down. I'm going to flick it and I'm going to hit Connie with it here in a minute. Trust in 2024. Our exclusive trust should only be in the Lord. Number one, the entity or everything of our trust is the Lord. Second, the extent of trust with all thine heart. All thine heart. All thine heart. Not just a little dab. I mean, all of our heart. Third, the enemy of trust, and lean not to thine own understanding. Your understanding will throw the water on God's fire every single time. I'm telling you, he will. Number four, the expectation of trust. The expectation of trust. When it says with all of our heart, I think it gives us even a little bit more understanding and explanation of what does that mean with all our heart. It says in all, here's that word again, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Huh. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Do you know every decision we make in life ought to be run through our God? Every decision we make. I am so amazed sometimes. You've heard me say before, I'm amazed. It's like, oh, you done that? What? Okay, good. Did you talk to God about it? And sometimes it's deer in the headlight look. It's kind of like, huh, yeah, I probably should have done that, shouldn't I? Yeah, every decision we make ought to be run by the Lord. Every spiritual decision we make and every decision of any significance. Now, I'm not so sure, God, should I use Colgate or Crest? You know, I think that gets, I mean, the Lord understands. I'm talking about any decision of consequence in our life. And we would set the standard way too high. I'll ask him on the big stuff and not too low, but I think it doesn't hurt to go really low and say, you know what, I'm going to ask the Lord what he wants me to do today. You know, who he wants me to talk to and who he wants me to witness to. And I'm going to ask him, you know, and then the decisions just keep getting bigger from there. Does that make sense? It says, the expectation of trust in all thy ways acknowledge him. You know, I'm glad, you know, the slogan of Greyhound Bus Line, yeah, anybody remember that? Leave the driving to us. And when you acknowledge God in all of your ways, and you say, Lord, I have a decision. I don't know what to do. Lord, I this is your day. How do you want me to spend it? Lord, this is your life. How do you want me to live it? You know, Lord, I'm a father now. How do you want me to be a dad? You know, in all those ways, say, Lord, I need your help. I need your direction. Connie, when she does the treasury work, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me with that. Even when the ushers, really, I mean, the ushers come forward. And if you're an usher, Lord, help me to be a good usher for Jesus. Help me with that. Help, give me wisdom and guide. Sing in the choir. Lord, help me to hit the notes right and have a right attitude and sing for the glory of God. I mean, it doesn't matter. When you sing a special, help me to do it for the glory of God. Lord, guide me in all of my ways. I want to acknowledge you. I want to consult you. I want to get your wisdom about it. I really don't think in our decisions in life, other than Colgate and Crest, I don't think there's hardly anything that God doesn't want to hear about. And he's the one, he's the God that sees everything. I mean, we do good to see the end of our nose. That's about as far as we can see what's going to happen. And God says, I'm up here. I know the past from the future, from the present. I see it all. I know what I've done in your heart and life. I know what I've created in you. I know how I've gifted you. I know what every day holds. And let me get this right, God might say, and you're going to do it on your own? want to go to him. I mean, it's kind of like one of those crazy things. It's like, you know, changing brakes on your car, and you got a master mechanic right there. And you're like, I'm going to change these brakes. I'm going to do it. And the master mechanic's going, I'm going to do that. You shouldn't do that. That's okay. I'm going to change my own brakes. I don't know much what I'm doing. I barely know how to use a wrench, but here we go. You know, and God said, hey, I'm the master mechanic. Turn it over to me. I mean, wouldn't it make sense to say, God, master mechanic, take over? And that's what we need to do with our lives. Y'all agree with that? Amen. The expectation of trust in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Trust in 2024. Our exclusive trust should only be in the Lord. Our exclusive trust should only be in the Lord. We first of all looked at the entity or the everything of trust. It's the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Second, the extent of trust with all thine heart. Third, the enemy of trust, and lean not to thine own understanding. Don't try to reason it out, because you can't. You're not God. Number four, the expectation of trust in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Not just some, but in all thy ways, consult him. And the last point, the enjoyment of trust. The enjoyment of trust. You say, well, preacher, if I'm going to do all that, how's God going to bless me? Well, it's right there in the verse. Verse 6, the last part. The enjoyment of trust. And he, who's that? God or the Lord, shall direct thy paths. Isn't that good? You know, have you ever seen any of these westerns where they're on the edge of a cliff, you know, kind of, and the trail goes around, there's a big drop-off over here, and you know, they're riding their, of all things, they're riding a horse and counting on that horse to not go over. You know, life is a lot like that. You know, you got a lot of mountain trails, right, and they're on the edge of the cliff. I sure don't want to rely upon me to get me over that, you know. I want to have a real guide in life. I want to know that the Lord is right with me. I want to know that the Lord is going to keep me from falling off the edge of that cliff. I want to know that he's going to direct my paths. Wow. Didn't that give you encouragement to know that the God of the universe loves you so much that he's concerned about your path? And that when I turn over my trust completely and exclusively to him, that he says, you know what? I will direct your paths. I will guide you every step of the way. I mean, golly, that's awesome. That ought to be enough to make a Presbyterian shout. The enjoyment of trust, and he shall direct thy paths. I know, you know, people hire tour guides, right? Because they know the best places to go, right? And you go to a tour guide, and this is the history of this place, and you'll definitely want to see this, and we'll go here next. And, you know, you're like, I have confidence in that tour guide. We're going to see some good stuff. Well, can't we have confidence in God? I mean, I'm not bringing him down to call him a tour guide, but if we trust a tour guide, we sure can trust our Lord to say, hey, just guide me through this life. You're showing me all the best places. Tonight, I'll repeat the points one more time, and then we'll kind of look at some points to ponder and then ask you a question, and then we're done. Trust in 2024. Our exclusive trust should only be in the Lord. Our exclusive trust should only be in the Lord. The entity or the everything of our trust is the Lord. Secondly, we looked at the extent of trust. With all our hearts, we're supposed to trust him. Third, the enemy of trust is our own understanding. Fourth, the expectation of trust in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And number five, the enjoyment of trust, and he shall direct thy paths. What a blessed life we will all have whenever we learn to trust the Lord completely and not rely upon all these other things in life. Points to ponder. Number one, everything else you may trust in can and will let you down. Point to ponder number two, the Lord has never let anyone down. The Lord has never let anyone down. Point to ponder number three, the Lord desires that we trust only in him. Point number four to ponder. Trusting in the Lord and what He tells us to do may not always make sense to our human pea brain. And point to ponder number five. There are great blessings to those who trust the Lord exclusively. I don't know about you. I like to be blessed. I think someone would have a screw loose somewhere, but you know what? I don't enjoy blessings. You know, something wrong there. I enjoy blessings, and the Lord will bless our path, all of our paths, plural, if we only trust Him exclusively. Trust in 2024. Our exclusive trust should only be in the Lord. Our exclusive trust should only be in the Lord. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you this. I'm not going to ask you to indicate in any way. But just think about this. And let God answer the question for your heart and your life, okay? How much do you trust the Lord? How much do you trust the Lord? How much do you trust the Lord? Do you trust Him exclusively? I mean, do you put all of your trust in the Lord instead of all these other things the world may say you should trust? And do you trust the Lord even when you don't understand? If the Lord in that still small voice is saying to you right now, you know what? You really could trust me more. You know, it's really not an exclusive trust because you're trusting this and me. Or He might be saying, you know what? There's some things that you don't understand and you still don't trust me in those areas. If the Lord is speaking to you, would you take just a moment and in prayer to the Lord from your heart silently to say, Lord, forgive me when I don't trust you. Forgive me when I don't trust you exclusively. Maybe forgive me when I start leaning on my own thoughts and my own. But help me in 2024 to trust you and you only. Would you be willing to say that to the Lord? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this very clear passage of Scripture that tells us where our trust should be. And as we just turned over into a new year, Lord, I pray that you'll help us in this year, in particular, not only to say that a wonderful passage of Scripture, but Lord, help us to put it into practice. And Lord, trust you exclusively. Only trust you. Even when we don't understand, help us to trust you. And Lord, we know that true trust in you starts when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight or anyone listening in by Facebook that's never trusted Jesus as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that even this very night, Lord, they may settle that. May they call out to you and ask for forgiveness of their sins. Lord, may they call out to you in prayer and Lord, truly believe from their heart that Jesus really did die on the cross as your Son to pay for their sin debt and then resurrected back to life. And Lord, may they call out to you and claim Jesus, confess Jesus as their Savior, even tonight. And Lord, they can be saved and begin to trust in you and this process, Lord, that we have in our lives as Christians, is to lean upon you every day. But Lord, I pray that they may trust you.